We are here. And as Laura says, we are digitally taking our roll call. Any concerns on that? We're good, right? Any public comment today? Hearing none. Is there any public comment? I believe I have to ask three times before Robert's rules tells me I don't have to ask anymore. And for the third time, any public comment? All right, we'll close the public comment session. Moving along to approval of the minutes from the December 15th, 2021 meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'd move approval.
Second, Lori Spielman.
Seconded by Lori. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments on that? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We're going to move right into number four on the agenda, our correspondence and handouts. Pauline, to talk about the Spring 22 workshops.
So UConn has workshops that I think we've sent them all to the policy board members. These are good opportunities for leadership development. And as CROG is one of the members, and you do get a discount when you attend these. And I would encourage they're really great workshops.
Leading positive organizational culture. Does that mean leading with a smile? Sounds like a good one. When you're biting your tongue, right? thank you, Pauline. Moving on to item B, Rob, for the obligated projects list.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is in your posted online. It's a 3-page table showing all the projects that received federal funding in fiscal year 2021. So it has all phases of design, construction, whichever phase was approved for funding and received federal funds. It's on the list. In total, there was $255 million worth of funds obligated. That includes not only projects just located in the region, but also multi-region district type projects. And in yellow, highlighted in yellow, are $18.7 million worth of projects that are considered bike ped projects. So if anybody wants to see what was obligated in 2021, you can look at the table.
Thanks very much, Rob. Moving along to you again for the capital plan for CONDOP.
Yeah, this is sort of related to the last table I showed, but this is looking forward 5 years as to CONDOP gets us a list, a 5-year capital plan, and asks us to comment on it. And it, so this takes care of the federal fiscal years 2022 through 2026. These are projects which they intend to ask us to include in on our TIP for each fiscal year. We've reviewed it. They asked for staff comments. We had a pretty short window to review the 5-year plan. What was kind of unique about it was the new federal funding bill did come out recently. And because of the timing of that and them not being able to get their arms around that quite yet, it does not include this capital plan does not include the additional monies from the feds. So we have comments here asking them to coordinate intensely with us to identify projects for those additional funds. We also have some suggestions for them as to what projects should go in immediately, including the Hartford Rail Line, which 2 years ago was put on an overprogrammed list due to issues with the STF at the time. Now that there are more federal funds available, we feel strongly that that should be included in the capital plan. That's the rail line improvements up to the state line, including the stations that have not been funded yet. Also, many of you have, or some of our communities have transportation alternative set aside projects that have been selected that are awaiting funding to get initiated. We think those should be funded immediately, along with any other funding programs that are awaiting, were awaiting federal funding. There's also quite a few bullets that ask them to coordinate with us more extensively, especially on some federal requirements for data-driven project selection. So if anybody has questions on that, I can comment.
Any questions? All right, Rob, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Into item number 5, our monthly reports. These were emailed out to everybody. I'll start kicking it off with Pauline, and then we'll rock right down through if anyone has any questions on any of them.
I do have one item that wasn't on the monthly reports. We just got notice that CROG was once again awarded the GFOA Budget Award for Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. So that's some great news for CROG, and we'll be doing a newsletter article on that as well in the future.
As you should, no shame in bragging about your successes. Nice job. Anything else you want to add, Pauline?
Nope.
Anyone else? Pete, Tim, Cheryl, John? Nope. Yes? No? Sounds good. Any of the members have any questions on any of the items? All right. We're going to go right along to our presentation. The Honorable Commissioner Big Papa with us this afternoon. Is that a, can I use that title? Is that the professional title?
Mayor, you can call me whatever you want. You've been doing it for 30 years. Why stop now?
The floor is yours, Commissioner. Please take it away.
Thanks, Mayor. Appreciate it. And welcome, everybody. My name is Mark Boughton. I am Commissioner of DRS and the Governor's Senior Advisor on Infrastructure. So what I want to do today is kind of just give you a brief overview. I'll try to be brief. It's fairly complicated, but I'll be as tight as I can. Overview on what the plan is to deploy these funds, how best you can access them, and then sort of give you an update on where we are as it relates to actually rolling out some of this stuff. First of all, let me just tell you, all right, so what is my job? What do I do? Well, I have a number of different directives from the governor. One is for obviously to facilitate cross-agency collaboration. Now, generally, DOT, DPH, they work well together, but this is more of as it relates to the IIJA, and also as it relates to our, you know, the COGS, CCM, COST, all the organizations, the stakeholders that are out there to try to get everybody pushing in the same direction on this, because if we don't do that, we won't be successful at accessing our share of the money. My job is to drive gains within the program, is to set short-term programming, medium-term goals, and obviously long-range planning through that. I'm also responsible for making sure that we get this done quickly and efficiently. It's the old, you know, if you're not first, you're last. And in this case, that's really true, because if there's a change in the Congress in the fall, or if there's a new president or whatever, they may change direction in this program. The money may not be there, or there may be different rules around the money. So it's important that Connecticut gets its stuff wired tight and in as fast as possible. I'm here to facilitate equity and innovation. And we all know that the governor's office, as the mayor's offices and the first selectman offices are they're really where innovation occurs. You guys have got to deliver your services, and you have less and less resources to do that. So you're always thinking and always managing for positive outcomes. So that's really where I would look to in terms of the innovation in this program. I'm here to remove roadblocks. I'm a force multiplier for you that are out there, and the state and state agencies, and just trying to, you know, get the headaches out of your way and help you keep the ball moving forward. And then finally, doing what I'm doing right now, which is engage stakeholders, first selectmen, mayors, COGS, CCM, COST, state representatives, state senators, our congressional delegation, pretty much everybody in the loop there, NGOs, et cetera, that are all interested and have interest within this program. And that's kind of what I'm supposed to be doing. Every state is in the process of appointing a point person. The president has appointed Mitch Landrieu, who was a former mayor of New Orleans and former lieutenant governor of Louisiana. And so Mitch is handing the national $1 trillion distribution, and then each state has a point person that would be doing similar things to what I'm doing, although obviously a little bit different construct. So with that, let's go to the next slide. And I think I covered the next slide too, but let's just make sure. Here, yeah, perfect. So this is the big picture IIJA overview. Total, this is nationally, is 1.2 $1.2 billion. What you need to understand about that $1.2 billion is that $650 billion is pre-authorized. In other words, that's going to go through the standard DOT formula grant program that they already have. And think of it this way, and this is simplistic, but this is the way I always think of it. If DOT has $100 million to spend on paving, under this program, they now have $138 million. It's roughly a 38% increase. So that is an important component to this, because that will allow DOT to begin the process of deploying these resources. There's also new funding, and that's really, if I'm a mayor or first selectman, that's where I'm going to be interested in. How do I access those new grant dollars? And that's $550 billion nationally. And in that tranche of money, there's $24 billion of other. That's a bunch of small grant programs that are interesting, and I'll share some of them with you today. It's $71 billion in the environment, $185 billion in utilities, and $270 billion in transportation. This really is historic in terms of the amount of money it's deploying, and it combines incremental funding for, as I mentioned, existing programs with these net new opportunities for you. So it's a mix of formula funding and competitive grants, and the timelines for implementation will vary by program. Okay, so what does that mean for Connecticut? Well, Connecticut over the next 5 to 7 years will receive $6 billion, roughly $3.5 billion for highway programs, $561 million for bridge replacement repair. That's new. That's a new program, a formula program. And just so you're aware, that's not the local bridge improvement program that many of you access to get a matching grant from the state. This is a brand new program geared primarily towards our surface transportation highways, et cetera. There'll be some climate change mitigation, resilience, and safety for cyclists and pedestrians that's also embedded in there. $1.3 billion is to improve our public transportation, which is very important to your particular COG. And it works at developing healthy and sustainable transportation options in Connecticut. $445 million is to improve water infrastructure. Those are your lead pipes that we can replace out and make sure that they're replaced with clean pipes for drinking water. $100 million is to provide broadband coverage across the state. The state's also putting in, has already put in $70 million to this program, and there'll be an additional $100 million. $62 million for airport infrastructure development. That's pretty much spoken for. Airports have already submitted their how they plan to execute that money. $53 million to support an expansion of EV charging networks across the state. In fact, there's at 1 o'clock, there's a EV charging webinar put out by DOT. They're going to do it again at 7 tomorrow night. Just go to the website to sign on if you're interested in that. And then $6.4 million, I put this in there just because I thought it was interesting, to protect against wildfires, and $13 million to protect against cyber attacks. So as I mentioned, those are pretty much our objectives. You know, the biggest issue is to work with you as a force multiplier to develop and initiate long-term gains for Connecticut. So how are we going to do that at the state level? Well, we have a coordinating team that's led by me. We meet once every other week with the governor, and I meet personally with the governor once a week regarding this program. I have hired up a small supporting team around me of people that are have municipal experience as well as state experience. You may know some of them eventually. Great people that will be able to help work with you to get this stuff underway. Agencies with direct funding allocations, DOT, DEEP, DPH, DESPP, CAA, and CPA, they also have embedded people from my team, 2 people per agency, will be working directly with their commissioners and their senior management team to continue to facilitate the deployment of these resources. Our advisors on this program are Office of the Governor, OPM, DECD, OWS, and DAS. So the agencies with direct funding allocations, they're responsible for designing, planning for, and executing the IIJA funded projects, including existing and new funding streams, and they'll apply for national competitive grants at the state level. And we'll talk about how you would do that at your level shortly. My job is to coordinate those efforts across the agencies to serve as the administration's senior public voice, point of contact, and advise the governor by elevating interdependencies and shared risks and opportunities. The advisors will simply address and advise us on things like workforce development, bonding, procurement, et cetera. I just put this in here just to give an example of how complicated this is. This is just a summary, by the way. These are some competitive grant programs that are going to be coming out. Now, the problem that we have right now is many of the federal agencies have not dropped their guidance on how to access these dollars. And some of them won't drop it till the fourth quarter of 22. So we're waiting for that guidance, but this is what was in the actual language of the statute. So if you look at a state and local cybersecurity grant program, that's $1 billion nationally that you can apply for, but you have to have a comprehensive plan. And Connecticut has to have a comprehensive plan of how to use this money, where we'd use it, and how the municipalities would benefit from that. Broadband equity, same thing. You have to have a five-year action plan to access $42.4 billion. And the digital equity capacity, same thing, where you target certain areas that may be lacking a capacity, fiber optics, things like that. You have to have a comprehensive plan. That's to ensure that we don't have 169 cities and towns chasing different grants and not working together. Frankly, the federal government wants you to work on a regional basis. That's why why COGS are absolutely critical in this process, so that your application will be that much stronger if you engage other communities that surround. Okay, real quick update from Washington, because people they like to know this stuff. They signed the bill in November. Mitch Landrieu has become the infrastructure coordinator. They've released a little bit of guidance, but not a lot. We're still waiting on tons. We're waiting for a guidance manual, which will come out at the end of February, that they're going to provide for us. There is no funding yet for this program because we're still operating on a continuing resolution. That continuing resolution goes to February 18th. Hopefully, there'll be a spending plan passed by Congress at that point, which will include the IIJA monies. One thing I just want to make you and alert you to as you start developing your towns or cities budget plans is that you can use leftover ARPA money for a non-federal match. So most of these programs require an 80-20 match or a 90-10 match, 10 or 20% being from the state and the municipality. You can use leftover ARPA money. So you might want to encumber that in your budget, put it aside, and say we're going to use this to apply for IIJA funds. Obviously, you won't get the grant if you can't provide the matching funds. And as I mentioned, it's about 6 to 12 months before we actually get the grant programs are out there with the guidance to go along with them. Okay, this is a brief 50,000 foot view of DOT. And just to kind of give you a flavor of how this works. So you have two main federal formula funding programs at DOT. FHWA is primarily highways, right? And FTA is primarily rail and trains and so forth. So if you look at this, you'll see that starting in 2022, there's a significant plus up on the money that's being allocated. It goes from 549 to 788, or roughly a 43% increase. On the FTA side, it goes from 200 to 249. Roughly a $48 million increase. So that will continue out till 2026. And if you combine the two, that's that third chart on the bottom, it'll show you what the total amount coming in. But this money, so how would DOT use this money? Well, what they'll do is take projects that were programmed for 2024 and 2023 and move them up to 2022. So they're simply just going to move forward the things that they had programmed out there around the state. And I think there's about 20 program projects that are already in the process. They're well beyond the design phase and are ready to go. So that's what they're going to work on. For those programs, you use the same, for those federally funded formula programs, you use the same process you've always used with your MPO, including the TIP and the STIP and follow that chart around. You guys are very familiar with this. And that's how that money in those formula grants is deployed. You have to be in that queue to be able to get it. So you can't just point to a bridge and say, I want to use this money to go do this bridge. You had to have already done the work here through the MPO process. I think this is interesting. I included it because these are new federal formula programs, not competitive, but formula. So there's a bridge program that I mentioned to you that will be able to do a bunch of bridges that we had thought about doing, but we weren't able to do. And that's $561 million. Although, as we know, bridges can eat up cash like there's no tomorrow. I mentioned the EV charging formula funding, the carbon reduction formula funding, and they protect. This is a grid and transportation resiliency program that is worth about $90 million for us to deploy. So it's significant. We also have competitive grants, the Northeast Corridor competitive grant. Northeast Corridor is primarily from New York up to Maine. The hang-up is really Connecticut. Our rail is a little bit slower. And so I'm sure that money will be eaten up in the inner-city passenger rail and the partnership grants to update tracks and update train stations that will need work throughout the Northeast Corridor. But Connecticut will get a large share of that, given that we tend to be the bottleneck for people traveling by a train in that area. And then these are national competitive grants underneath there. There's a Safe Streets for All grants for local governments to improve safety and reduce crashes in local communities. So let's say you've got an intersection where you have a high rate of crashes and you have a redesign available. That may be something that would fit under that Safe Streets program. Smart grants for innovative transportation technologies. Or to use data to improve efficiency and safety. That could be anything from light alignment to synchronization of traffic lights. Reconnected community grants, that's for planning and designing demolition of street grids and areas that where highways run down the middle and divides two pieces to that. I mentioned the bridge grants. So Connecticut would be our supplement. It was 561 for that. And then we have other ones, the RAISE grant, new mega projects. We're not sure. Trying to get some understanding from that from the feds, but it says it's multimodal, multi-jurisdictional projects of national or regional significance. Not sure what they mean by that. I don't know if they're sure yet either. And more national competitive grants. There's $8 billion for expanded commuter rail and bus rapid transit. $9.75 billion for CRISI grants and railroad crossing elimination programs, ADA upgrades to rail transit grants, $5.2 billion for low, no-emission bus grants. That would be to convert fleets to electric or hydrogen or whatever the latest fuel is that they're using up there. A new culvert grant that you can access for your community to repair and replace or restore culverts that tend to overflow with water and end up chewing up your streets. We think we will be in line to receive about $100 billion more from those grant programs based on essentially how they disperse it would be less than that. But generally speaking, there's a significant amount of money for Connecticut there. What's the implementation for DOT? Because we don't have guidance yet and no new funding has been distributed yet, they're in a phased approach. They're going to focus on the existing formula fund grant programs, like I mentioned to you. They're going to develop concepts for state formula fund grants, and they're going to identify projects in FY23 beyond for the competitive grants. We are challenged in hiring and recruiting. I'm sure you're seeing the same thing. Just for the IIJA, we need 206 additional engineering positions, and that does not include retirements that take place under the retirement cliff that we're facing at the state. Connecticut DOT is also establishing a new grants and socioeconomic unit with a staff dedicated to equity analysis as well as sustainability and resilience. They'll be very happy to help you look at your grant program and to ensure that it meets some of the standards that the feds are going to put out as it relates to equity and sustainability and resilience. Now, DEEP, I'll quickly run through these. Very similar, though. They have a clean school bus program. Anything in yellow is a new program. Blue is existing, but it's a plus-up. So there's $5 billion nationwide for clean school buses. DEEP will be happy to help you develop that program. $2.5 billion of that, by the way, is available for exclusively for electric school buses. It's competitive, and we'll be getting guidance from the EPA as soon as it's available. Here's some other ones that you can see here. There's a competitive, it's an AND formula. It's a combination, a hybrid, preventing outages and enhancing grid resilience. We know as mayors that there's nothing worse than losing power in your community. Everybody laughs about it for the first day or two, and then they are pitchforks and torches out on front of town hall or city hall because it really freaks people out. So I think it's good that we work on our grid. You'll see other investments here, smart grid investment, matching grant, transmission facilitation. There's a nuclear credit program that might be helpful with Millstone. Hydropower and clean energy are all available and all new. These are a combination of plus-ups as well as new grants. The State Energy Program, many of you are familiar with that. The Weatherization Assistance Program, I think you're familiar with that. They're also going to be training R&D and hiring people to go out and do the assessments, the audits of homes and businesses to help them save money. There's an energy efficiency revolving loan fund so you can access dollars to make the changes that are recommended in those audits. And there's grants for efficiency and clean energy improvements at public schools, about $5 million. I think that should be $5 billion, and it's competitive. Clean water, PFAS, emergency contaminants. Again, those are programs that are out there. Wastewater efficiency grant program for sludge and methane capture. It's a great program. Sewer overflow and stormwater reuse multi-grants, another good one. Clean water, many of you may have used that program in the past. Long Island study grant, and then there's more money for brownfields. That's competitive, but within Connecticut, we have $12 million for that. And broadband. I think broadband is one of the more exciting programs that's here. The state put in about $70 million in the last budget, and we're going to get an additional $100 million from the feds. And it's going to be interesting how we do this. I think the only way this happens is if we all work together on a comprehensive plan, because there really doesn't make much sense for individual cities or towns that develop their own network. I think it makes more sense to leverage the assets of people are delivering the service now, but require them to build out the network and with more capacity, more fiber optic, make sure the inner city areas of your communities are done. I found Danbury, we did an audit, and we found that right on Main Street, there's very little fiber optic, yet there's a lot out in the suburban areas. I think you'll see that in a lot of the larger cities. So those are the things that are going to be exciting about this. And I think this is an opportunity for a quick win for all of us. However, their guidance isn't coming out to the fourth quarter of 22, so it's going to be a little bit of time. And then there's community resilience, a lot of stuff related to coastal flooding, dam management, safety, flood mitigation, storm act, and I mentioned the wildfires earlier on. Okay, DEEP has some of the same challenges as DOT will. They need about 70 additional full-time employees, and that'll be a lot of work to do that. It's just tough finding people with that kind of technical background out there. They're going to work to braid money together. They're going to work to engage you locally. You'll be hearing from them. And they have just launched an Equity Environmental Justice Council inside of DEEP to look at how these projects are done and why they're done. And that's pretty much it. So if you heard all that and you're thinking, well, what do I do now? You know, it's a lot of stuff he just threw at us. I'll make sure you get the deck. We can email it out to you. But what I would do if I were you is meet with your planner, meet with your city engineer, dust off those plans that you've had sitting on a shelf for a long time that just never got done, get them updated as much as you can, and be ready. As soon as we can get out the guidance to you, we will. And then we're going to utilize, and this is very preliminary, it needs some more work, but this is the vision, is to utilize the COGS. So essentially, and I'm going to use New Britain because the mayor and I have known each other a long time. New Britain has an idea for fixing intersection. They've got some plans. The mayor just drafts a narrative, brings it to the COG. The COG looks at it, makes sure that, you know, if there's a way we can hook that into another community to submit a joint grant application, we'll do that. If not, no problem. The COG will then forward it over to DOT. DOT will give a stamp of approval, and then that'll go back to New Britain, and we'll actually do the application. Why that's important is I think I'm working very hard to be able to supply you with some matching grant money out of our surplus in our state budget. So if you can access that, and that's why I think DOT needs to have at least a stamp saying, yep, we agree with this, then we can open up some of our dollars to help you apply for this. I don't think the feds care where the matching piece comes from as long as they get it. So that's pretty much it. I will be communicating with you often about this stuff. It's important that we work together. Regional approaches are the best, and certainly can open up for any questions you might have.
Thanks so much, Commissioner. I know I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions, but I just want to say, so on the piece of it, some of the best advice that you have for all of us is to start thinking about our plans, thinking about town by town, and also partnering with different towns in the region or through CROG, which I think we can play a very unique role here in helping to identify a lot of projects that maybe will score pretty high. And just want to thank you for the time. So, I mean, it seems that we have quite a bit more time until that guidance comes out, which I know everybody is like chomping at the bit and hovering to figure out how and when. So we hope to have you back soon to talk to us about that. I see John with his hand raised.
Thank you, Mayor. Commissioner, we're really supportive of the idea of doing things on a regional basis. But in your thought process, I want to make sure you keep in mind that some of us are on the border of multiple COGs. And, you know, we're looking at the possibility of a dusting off a sewer plan that would have brought us into Windham. So in keeping of that, you know, we're going to have the different COG efforts work on it because we're not all within one district. So I just want to plant that notion in your mind.
Yeah, thanks, John. I ran into that this morning with Madison. So that is an issue. Not a problem. We will certainly be able to work with you on that. That's a great project, by the way. Sewer, there's going to be a lot of sewer money, so get rolling on that thing. You'll get funded. I'm pretty confident you'll get your money for that.
We're starting those meetings. Thanks.
Tony.
I have a question. One of the, and thank you very much for all of this, Mr. Broughton. It's very helpful, and if not confusing. Is there any money in this pile of money that would help replace the garbage to energy plant that's about to be closed?
Yeah, the MIRA plant. Yeah. You know, I spoke to the governor about that.
Send garbage into Hartford. And I'm not sure what we're going to do. We certainly don't want to put it on trucks to be driving around the country, the nation, the way sometimes happens.
Yeah, that's a great point. I did speak to the governor about that issue. He's aware of it. I think, yes, I do think there'll be, I think we can figure someplace to plug that in. We may not get all of it, but we're going to get a lot, and that will score very high because it's a regional
project. I'm sorry, project. I can't hear your answer.
I said that project will score very high because there's a regional approach. It's a good project. I don't know if you can hear me. Can anybody else hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay. Maybe you can share that with her, Mayor?
I got it.
Yeah, it's a good project. They're going to like that one.
Anybody else have any questions? All right, Commissioner, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Just want to throw it out there. Happy to come and visit with folks in their community. If you feel a face-to-face or, you know, showing me what the project is might be better to explain it, that would be great. And I'm happy to do that. Just get a hold of me. I think the mayor and I are going to meet in another week or two. We want everybody to be successful. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, we're going to move right along into our action items today. So number 7 on the agenda is the appointment of the Personnel and Finance Committee members. It looks like Mayor Moran has offered to chair. Thank you. So we only have a couple members currently, Lori Spielman and John Coleman, and we're looking for additional volunteers. Mayor Moran, do you want to add on that?
No, just that I'm glad to serve in this role. I understand that one of the major roles is the evaluation of the executive director, and I have some experience evaluating Matt Hart's performance in the past, so this won't be new.
Pauline, did you want to say?
No, Madam Chair, I believe, so a lot of the turnover happened with retirements and the recent election, so we're looking to probably to fill with at 2 to 4 more members with regards to that, and hoping.
Is anyone interested? Don't all volunteer at once.
It's very, I would say that there's probably 2 meetings a year for the Personnel Finance Committee, one for the audit to accept the audit, and the next to review the executive director. So it's not a heavy lift.
This is Mayor Cantor. I will do it. I will.
John, I'll do it too if you need it.
And Raul Deaces from Hartford would also do it.
Woohoo! Look at that, Pauline. Thank you all very much. Did you get them?
Yes. That brings us to 6. If that sounds good to the board, we could... I think we need a motion and approval.
So moved, Lori Spielman.
Second, Peter Souza.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much. Action item number 8, approval of the legislative agenda. Mayor Bauza.
Well, good afternoon, Mayor Stewart. I want to start off by thanking Lyle Ray for his work in putting this together, as well as, and this is always dangerous when you start naming individual names, but John Coleman, John L. Sesser, Bob Lee, and I'm sure there were others, but we put together a proposal that I think represents where reasonable priorities should be for the coming session. Kathy Lutz has talked about this with the executive board a bit. I turn it over to Lyle to kind of walk through the nitty gritty, but I think one of the things, before I do that, I would just want to say, I think one of the things that we have tried to do is make sure that there is something tangible that we can present to legislators instead of something from a more 30,000 foot perspective. We wanted to get down to a 5,000 foot perspective. So with that, Lyle, you want to walk through this?
Sure. Thank you very much. And thank you, Madam Chair, and First Selectman Bauza. If you had a chance to look at this, it's organized into the COVID-19 response and recovery, which I guess will be getting up to 2 years in a few weeks, is taking a while. We're not done yet, and CROG is doing a lot of things in terms of distribution of equipment. The second item is very critical on solid waste, and we just heard some good news from Commissioner Boughton on the issue of replacing MIRA. As you know, the danger there is we're going to go from landfilling 500,000 tons to 1.1 million tons as a state, which is the wrong answer. So it's delightful to hear that we may get some movement there. And we may want to talk to, Madam Chair, we may want to talk to Commissioner Bauza, Commissioner Boughton about his help in that MIRA replacement. In terms of transportation, the Boston Rail Service, a number of things that have happened. The Springfield to Boston link with CSX has a written agreement now to allow passenger rail. So that's very positive. That's a $60 to $80 billion economic impact over 30 years, which is huge. We need to keep pushing that as we look for money. The federal transportation funding you've just heard of, heard from Commissioner Boughton, and the issues here of making sure that the lots of allocation is appropriate to that. The other piece, and you saw the attempt of DOT to hire a lot of staff, we're suggesting DOT delegate a lot of simple tasks to the COGs and towns to the extent they want them. So right-of-way acquisition and small project management in many states is frequently delegated to MPOs or towns with a dollar value. You know, in other words, the state agency is not managing a $1 million trail project. It's pushed down by a letter of agreement, so we can continue to work on that. Public service modernization, John Elsesser and others have helped us on this. We have a lot to do on contactless government, as well as moving to a much more efficient way of delivering services. Broadband access, you've heard a bit about here, which is a very important piece of this. And then finally, the funding and roles for councils of government, maintaining stable funding, expanding shared services. And by the way, we're working on a webinar with CCM and UConn on a shared services webinar for you. So, Madam Chair and First Selectman Bauza, that's the proposal in front of you. The plan then would be to work with Kathy Lutz after that, with whoever you want, with Chairman Bauza, to meet with key committees of cognizance to sort of go over the agenda. So that's, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much. Any questions from anyone on our legislative agenda? I just want to thank you all for the work that you put in on that. It came out great, and let the meetings begin, right?
Yep. We'll need a motion, Madam Chair.
I would make that motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that motion, Bob Bessel in Canton.
Thanks, Bob. Any questions, comments? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you.
I'm just going to chime in quickly. Who was it that made the motion? I didn't get to write that down. Oh, great. Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
All right, Tim, you're up for the SEDS contract.
Yes, thank you. So this is a resolution to allow us to enter into a contract with a consulting firm to update our comprehensive economic development strategy to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. We received a grant of $90,000 from the Economic Development Administration through the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development. There is no match for this grant, so it's all 100% federal money or plus a little state money. And we are currently in the process of selecting a consultant and hope to be able to enter into a contract with them soon. So this would just allow us to do that. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks so much, Tim. Are there any questions or comments on this? We have a motion.
So moved by Peter Souza.
Peter, thank you. I have a second.
Seconded.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Tim, back to you.
Yes. So the next one is a resolution for an agreement with a firm to provide recovery coordinator services. So this, again, is part of that grant that we received from the Economic Development Administration. It's a $100,000 award, and this would allow us to hire somebody to help with the long-term recovery, regional recovery steering committee, and identify unmet needs and then help develop projects out of those unmet needs. So we are, again, in the process of selecting a consultant, and this would just allow us to enter into a contract with them.
Is there a motion?
Jason Bauza, I'll move the resolution.
Second.
Lori Spielman, I'll second it.
Questions, comments? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Tim?
All right, and I think this is my last one. This is, again, part of the EDA grant that we received. It's $110,000 to provide technical assistance to small businesses, primarily with online and digital transactions. So helping small businesses move to online services. We have issued a request for proposals, and we are in the process of reviewing those and selecting a firm. And this resolution would allow us to enter into contract with them.
Thank you. Their motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second, Lisa Thomas, Chair Coventry.
Any questions or comments on this? Tim, I assume you'll come back to us when you have a contract or a company to award it to, right?
We'll definitely come back and inform you of that decision. Yeah. So we can do that next.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Aye. Item number 12, being that it's lunchtime, seeing anything with an authorizing agreement for nachos is kind of exciting to me. Cheryl?
I know. Sometimes it's pronounced nacho. Nobody ever knows how to pronounce it, Mayor, but it's the National Association of City and County Health Officials. We've been doing this with them for probably about 10 years now, where I apply for a grant with them, and they've approved us to get again. So this resolution authorizes CROG to enter into an agreement with them to accept funds in the amount of $10,000 for work for our Medical Reserve Corps in the Capital Region.
Thank you, Cheryl. Are there any questions? Do we have a motion?
All moved. Dave Nagel, Newington.
Second?
Lori Spielman, Ellie.
Steve Jones, Talland.
Any other questions? Are all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Cheryl. All right, moving to item 13. Mr. Coleman.
Mayor John Coleman sent me an email at the last minute saying he would not be able to attend. He was caught in another meeting. So I think Rob is on the line.
Yes.
Oh, good. I didn't see you on the participant list. So.
All right, Rob, I can take you. It. Yeah, thank you. Okay. Yeah, we have in your packet, or I'll post it online, there's 5 line items for 3 different projects. The 3 projects are shown as TIP amendments on the screen. The largest of them is for a project that would improve lane continuity on Route 2 eastbound. If you drive that, you know that it unexpectedly splits to Route 17 and 2 from the main lanes of the highway. There's also a lane add there at the previous exit that is confusing and results in weaves. So that would improve lane continuity eastbound on Route 2. The second project is replacing traffic control signals. This is a project that was already approved. It's just moving fiscal years. The third is in District 2, various traffic control devices, just the cabinets and nothing more than that in the controllers. So that would not even notice probably the difference, but it would upgrade those 70 locations within District 2. Only 6 of the locations in District 4 and in District 2 are within CROG. This is a statewide type of or district-wide type of projects. So the Transportation Committee did review these. They all have appropriate funding sources for the types of projects and recommended their approval by the Policy Board.
Thank you, Rob. Any questions or comments on this? Do I have a motion?
So moved. Bob Bessel.
Second, Chris Edge.
Thank you very much, Chris. Any, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Item 14, Rob.
Yeah, this is a resolution authorizing us to extend our contracts with Beta and CHA for LOTSIP administrative services and design reviews. The region provides these services using LOTSIP funds to the municipalities cost-free and offers design review commenting on LOTSIP projects. And we have had good experience with these firms. The end of their 3-year contract is up May 31st. And so this would extend allow our executive director to extend each contract by 2 years.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion?
So move, Steve Jones, Talland.
Second?
Lori Spielman, Ellington.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Kathy, for a legislative update.
Hi, yes. There is still no decision made on virtual in-person session starting in a very short time. We're starting to believe that will be some type of a hybrid. There's talk about perhaps requiring proof of vaccination or negative test for in-person, you know, one-on-one meetings. But none of that has been decided yet. Committee chairs are reaching out to their members to talk about their processes and their agenda, but we're all really still waiting. And the other thing I know, which is more going forward, is it seems almost every day another legislator announces they will not be running. And that number, we've already had several this year for various reasons that required a special election. At this point, we have potentially right now over 14 legislators who won't be running. So I think down the road, we're going to be seeing some substantial changes in the body as a whole.
Great, thank you. Any questions for Kathy while she's here? All right, thanks, Kathy. Is there any other business today? Any announcements you want to make, Pauline, before we close up?
Nope, not at all.
All right. Wonderful. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. Anyone want to? Lori's with me on it. Listen, guys, we're adjourned. The time is 12:55 p.m. Have a wonderful evening. See y'all in a month, February 23rd.
I'm Thank for you, nachos.
Everyone. Take care.
All for the nachos, Cheryl, definitely.